Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is John Scudamore, and John Scudamore is an international treasure because he has started the website whale.to, whale.to. If you go to that website, you can spend literally years investigating vaccination. And this is why I have asked John to come on the program today and state why we need a moratorium on vaccination now. I'm going to pick him up in a minute, so just hold there. Hello, John Scudamore. Welcome.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay? Hello.
You can always speak up. Yes, hi there, John. Well, I hear you, but you can always speak up because, you know, you can never project well enough for radio.
Okay.
So, John, national treasure that you are, why do we need a why do we need a moratorium on vaccination now?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by moratorium, but we certainly need something to shoot it dead, that's for sure.
That's exactly what I mean, yes.
Yeah, it's essentially child abuse for profit. I mean, it doesn't take any amount of time to find out that it's complete child abuse. Just from statistics, it's very easy to prove vaccination is doesn't protect at all due to statistics. For example, measles death declined by 99.4%. I mean, 99.4% before vaccine came in from 1900 until 1968 in the UK and England. So there isn't a shred of evidence it did anything to save us all from measles. And the other big thing I discovered is they've actually suppressed the vitamin C cure for all viral disease since the 1930s. When they were treating whooping cough, and Dr. Klenner was curing polio in 1949 with vitamin C. So all those children you see in the newspapers without any limbs or arms because they had meningitis and they were forced to chop off their limbs is completely unnecessary because they've suppressed the vitamin C cure for meningitis. And just from that fact alone, you can prove that the vaccine industry is run by psychopaths, just like the country. The country has been run by psychopaths for, God, 200 years. I mean, the last, all of the wars since 1900, as Eustace Mullins said, have been created, absolutely created. We don't have any enemies. They just created these wars, and they've killed 300 million of us in the last century alone, due to creating Hitler, Mao, Stalin, Pol Pot, I mean, Kissinger-funded Pol Pot, and all of their false flags to make us go into these wars. And what people don't realize is vaccination is government medicine. So why would you buy medicine of somebody who's killed 300 million of us in the past century deliberately? They're a bit exposed in the Iraq war. They just went and killed a million people in Iraq. And they also forced vaccinated the American army with the anthrax vaccine, had to get a special executive order to force vaccinate all of their soldiers. And that's where Gulf War syndrome comes from. So it's deliberate. It's all deliberate. When I spent a lot of time on smallpox vaccination, I managed to get somebody send me from Manchester Library 30 books on smallpox vaccination, and I've got them all on my website. Yeah, the best one is done by the Leicester Chief Sanitation Engineer, J.T. Biggs, who in 1912 he wrote this book completely exposing vaccination, and he's had all the statistics to prove it. For example, in the height of vaccination in 1880, they lost 2,200 babies they killed with vaccination, if you compare the high vax years to the low vax years. 2,000 babies, just under five. And the National Anti-Vaccine League of England, which was had about four or five medical doctors in it, worked out it was killing 25,000 babies every year just through the spread of diseases. And they introduced leprosy into the wine islands and killed 10% of the population with leprosy. And so on all around the world. I mean, only 10% of the world was vaccinated with smallpox. So it's absolutely absurd to say that it got rid of smallpox. And countries like Australia had very little vaccination, and it declined there like anywhere else. So it's actually the only case of successful germ warfare I've ever come across. And that's the only way you can really kill people with germs, if you inject them into them. And what they were doing with smallpox vaccine, they were taking pus off a cow, really, and human corpses, smallpox pus, or smallpox sores, and they were cutting this into babies. So it was basically cutting septic, germ-ridden pus into babies for a good 140 years, which is why George Bernard Shaw said in 1911 that it's nothing short of attempted murder. So they've been murdering children for a good 140 years deliberately with smallpox vaccine, and they're still doing the same. I mean, they've killed 600 teenagers with HPV vaccine, which is just remarkable. I mean, it's just totally horrific, and they've never proven any vaccine's done anything, absolutely nothing. That's what's so unbelievable. They don't protect you at all. And it's very easy to prove the statistics. And it's also very easy to prove vitamin C, because if they actually gave a rat's ass about children, they'd be using vitamin C, but it would completely destroy vaccination and the whole drug industry, because vitamin C reverses heart disease, which is another huge industry of theirs, and nutritional medicine would absolutely destroy drug medicine. All the drug houses would go down overnight. And it's just like if the truth on vaccination came in, it would completely destroy them and the reputation of the medical industry completely for all time. And they're not going to do that without a fight. That's why they're trying to force vaccinate everyone. And I've just read an article by Dr. Blaylock saying what to take if you're forced vaccinating, which is incredible. Isn't it? That's what we've come to, isn't it? Forced vaccination of adults. So I've got a huge database of all, which is vaccination apart completely.
I'd like you to add a quote. You have a lot of memes. This one is by Paul G. King, PhD in analytical chemistry. And he says, the benefits of vaccines are theoretical. The disease, damage, and death are real.
Well, they're causing every single case of autism, 99.99% is caused by vaccines. It's very obvious that the researchers and all the research they've produced saying it doesn't is all been taken apart as fraudulent, isn't it? So, I mean, the CDC just said it's just prove it in that movie Vax, isn't it? They've covered it up for 13 years, but they know vaccines cause autism. That's one in 45 children now, isn't it? Which is how many millions of autistic children have they caused with vaccines? I don't know, millions, isn't it? And then you've got asthma, ear infections is another big one from vaccines. I think most leukemia, most childhood cancers come from vaccines or drugs like antibiotics, like meningitis, for example. It's caused by, there was a huge outbreak, and it was caused by, they traced it to an antibiotic. So they then say that they need a vaccine for meningitis, for a disease that's mostly caused by their vaccines and drugs. You know, it's just extraordinary. And I take chickenpox vaccine. I mean, I found a book in a local library in Hay, 1890 medical dictionary, and it said chickenpox prognosis always favorable. And here we've got a vaccine that's killed children and caused, I've got a list of about 30 different diseases I've got on the pack, just on a package insert. And for a completely harmless disease, it's the same with mumps, isn't it? Completely harmless, never killed a child, and but the mumps vaccine is pretty deadly, like MMR urapin. And the other big proof of psychopathy is the British vaccine, government vaccine committee. They introduced a vaccine into the UK that had been withdrawn, banned in Canada, causing large amounts of meningitis, and they changed the name and introduced it into the UK, where after 4 years or so, thousands of cases of meningitis, they were forced to withdraw it. Now it's been sold out in Brazil, out in the third world. I mean, that's the kind of people they are. And for measles, which MMR, measles is harmless under proper medical care, especially if you've got vitamin C. Mumps is harmless, never killed. China, rubella, cases of rubella syndrome went up after the vaccine. So that the thing is, they know these vaccines are useless. They've known it since they introduced the smallpox vaccine. So, yes.
John. It's hard for people to wrap their minds around such a sinister intent. And this is really our greatest foe is trying to make people who are, they're good people. They cannot fathom, unless they've known personally in their lives, bona fide evil, they cannot wrap their minds around this. So it is a very difficult task to take the obvious even and educate people because they are taught to trust their quote-unquote trusted family physicians. It's on television. Ask your trusted family physician. So I have to tell you, I was watching some videos of nurses, pediatric nurses, who are saying that they are doing all they can since they found out the truth to alert their fellow nurses. I was talking to another holistic nurse who has put out the call, nurses, refrain from vaccinating. So the nurses may actually be heading this charge. They are actually the ones here in New York State who resisted the mandatory vaccinations for themselves. And quite frankly, the question became, if you are resisting it for yourself, how can you then inject it into others? And that's a very legitimate question. But they are now coming out, and they're coming out in sizable quantities and saying, don't under any circumstance inject another or accept another vaccine yourself. So it may be the healthcare workers who, in the long run, are the ones who thwart this dire scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, nurses seem to be the best way because they're the ones who take the vaccine and get brain damage, don't they? The nurses, well, the doctors probably avoid them, don't they? Because they're not required to, or they can escape the vaccine. That's why you don't find many brain damaged doctors like you do in nursing. So,
well, I was talking to a nurse the other day who said she works in the emergency room, that over 90% of the people who were rushed into the emergency room with a very bad case of the flu had received the flu shot. And she, quite frankly, had prior to that been an emergency worker where she had to lift people and put them on something and get them to the hospital. But she wound up losing her job because of the vaccine she was required to take to keep her job. They made her take the Hep B vaccine. She developed fibromyalgia, and she wound up losing her job because she could no longer lift people to put them on the truck to get them to the hospital. So I just want to say that the healthcare workers are under the greatest assault among adults, those, and veterans, but nobody anywhere is under the assault that the children were up to 8 doses that can be given here in the USA to pregnant women their fetuses reap the disaster from. And we're up to 33 doses in the first year of life. And even if vaccines worked, they could not benefit from them. Nothing other than mother's milk. So this is glaring intent here. any malintent.
Oh, yeah, diabolical. I mean, I've got an obstetrician gynecologist woman who just come out and said, A, the vaccines are wonderful, and B, that they're better than breastfeeding, which is absolutely extraordinarily ignorant, isn't it? And then she says she's extolling the virtues of circumcision. I know she's Jewish, but even a Jewish doctor hasn't come out and said circumcision is evil. And here we've got a pediatrician who's gone to university and college or whatever and got loads of intelligence to get all those degrees. And she's actually saying that vaccination is better than breastfeeding. You should circumcise. I mean, she can't be that stupid, can she?
Well, I have to tell you, a rabbi just came out, and Ann Daschle of the autism, trying to remember the name of that publication, a very, very well-known publication on autism, and he came out swinging, Rabbi Handler, God bless him, because if he is the leader of a large group, then his stepping forward and speaking the truth couldn't be more important. Minister Louis Farrakhan has reached 1.5 billion people from the steps of Congress when he spoke out. And I am calling for ministers and priests to likewise speak out.
Well, we've got a task, as the whole of the matrix rests on smallpox vaccination. It was the first great lie. And it upholds the whole of vaccination, that big lie, and that upholds the whole of the medical industry. So vaccination goes down, which is going to, because no lie can live. No, such not a diabolical lie like this can live forever. It's going to bring down the whole system, isn't it? The whole system is going to crash, and people are going to realize we're not actually living in a democracy. It's actually a fascist state. It's actually a pathocracy, which is a society run by psychopaths. And it's normally called fascism, where the corporations are in league with the governments, like Mussolini said. And it's very obvious to prove the corporations run the government just from the vaccine medical industry. And it's the same with all the other ones. Zappa said politics is the entertainment of the military industrial complex, which really hit a nail on the head. It's the same for the medical industrial complex. And trust in that sort of puppet show is declining, really. And, it's just falling apart, isn't it, with Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're both proven psychopaths, aren't they? And,
I want to bring everyone's attention to the Spanish flu, wherein between 50 and 100 million people died, and this was caused by vaccination. Vaccination was not the cure, it was the cause. And if you, you can stack wars up, you can stack 50 wars on top of one another. You may not have killed as many people as the vaccination itself.
No, I mean, my dad was born in 1902, and I never even mentioned this great thing that kills so many millions of people. They can't have killed anyone, many people in England, if he never mentioned it. Now, they just blow them. They pluck these figures out of air because they want to frighten you with viruses. But the original meaningful virus was poison. And it's a standard propaganda game where they change the meaning of a word they didn't like. And they change it from poison to germ, just like they changed the meaning of paranoid from smart to dumb, or start smart to insane, because they didn't want people listening to the true paranoids who could fit everything together, join all the dots. So then
when the doctors apply for reimbursement from the insurance companies, they have codes. Let's say it's 093, okay, which means poisoning by cholera vaccine, poisoning by measles vaccine, and all of them say poisoning by a vaccine. So they are applying for reimbursement for poisoning a child, and the insurance company is reimbursing them for poisoning a child. And where are the bears reports?
Sorry, I don't get that. I did have a recent one of insurance. What are they I mean, I know insurance pays something like 60 or 80% of their income comes from Medicare, which is insurance, is it?
Right. But what I'm saying is, in order to get reimbursed, they have to say they have poisoned a child with a vaccine.
Is it actually
it's a known
poison?
It's known.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, if you inject mercury, there's no safe level. I mean, no safe level of mercury, and injecting it into children 147 times, or they were, or they claimed to take it out, 147 times the EPA's recommended safety level. Well, the EPA is just a corporate front, isn't it? So they just set the levels that industry can attain. But in truth, there's actually no safe level of mercury. And then if you mix it with aluminium, you can multiply the toxicity by 100. And I mean, why did anyone ever think it was a good idea to inject mercury? It's only because authority told them it's a good idea. And they're so terrified of authority and finding out authority is actually a psychopath. Nobody ever wanted to wake up, do they, and have a look. They're just quite happy to let them inject this stuff into that kid. And then it's been proven they're sterilizing third world women with vaccines. They've even written books about it. They can't deny it. There's two, and then there's Tween 80 they put in the HP vaccine. I think that's got a similar sterilizing thing. That's why a lot of teenagers have been made sterile by that vaccine. And so you're actually buying vaccines for people who sterilize people deliberately with vaccines. So they're not really to be trusted, are they? And
the
other big
one. The College of Pediatrics came out and said that the HPV vaccine is causing early ovarian failure. And let's say you give a child at 11 years old an HPV vaccine and they have stopped having their period by the time they're 16. Well, they weren't even going to start having kids until they were in their 20s. Certainly early ovarian failure. And all I can say is, why aren't they speaking about the girls who are dying from the HPV vaccine or the more than 50 adverse reactions to the HPV vaccine? They're only talking about this one issue because it's going to keep young women from having babies. And no babies, no business for the pediatricians. So they are outspoken on that one issue.
Oh, you think so, yeah. Well, the pediatricians are, yeah. Well, that's why they put Tween 80 in it, wasn't it, to make them infertile. So I suppose the pediatricians might be upset if they've got no children coming on the line, yeah. I hadn't thought of that one.
Well,
very
it's
good.
Self-serving, and it's self-serving and very disturbing knowing, you and I knowing, how many adverse reactions there are to the HPV vaccine.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, it's a good hundred,
it's startling. I've interviewed 15 families of HPV vaccine victims, and there is a laundry list. Each one of these mothers has a laundry list of unbelievable reactions, some of them so peculiar that they must be a first. It must be a first to have a paralyzed stomach, to have a hearing so acute that you can hear a conversation a block and a half away, but you can't stand anyone even tiptoeing in your own house. Everybody speaks in whispers.
It's almost like, I've come to the conclusion now, vaccination is basically, vivisection is child abuse, animal abuse, sorry, for absolutely no benefit. It's animal abuse for profit with no benefit to man whatsoever. And vaccinations, animal abuse of children for the same reasons. It's just, if you do that,
right,
you kill 300 million.
Right, and the best explanation of vaccine damage, according to Dr. Carley, is The Science of Vaccine Damage, written by Catherine O'Driscoll, which basically took 13 veterinarians, because the animal and the human are affected identically when it comes to vaccination. So it explains 13 doctors who were not sponsored by the pharmaceutical industry who did a study on animals and vaccination. And she says that's the best explanation.
that just doesn't work in animals too, does it really? Just my daughter, of course, had to develop a skin condition after vaccination, and it just makes a meal like the kids, really, but it's a lot of money in it. But the vivisection thing's quite easy. Most people don't realize vaccination rests and drug medicine rests on the yearly abuse of 300 million animals, which is just horrific. They never actually got a useful drug on the market with vivisection, which is the most amazing thing I discovered. It's never actually got any useful drug on the market. It's only done so they can get drugs on the market and make out they've tested them, you know, so they test them on animals. And they've actually, to induce brain damage and encephalopathy, whatever it's called, in mice, they inject the pertussis vaccine. So they're actually using vaccines to cause experimental brain damage in animals. And then they're telling you, on the other hand, the pertussis vaccine doesn't cause brain damage in children, even though they compensated 900 children for severe brain damage, the UK government, with DPT vaccine. And then they moved the goalposts and said, oh, well, scientists move on, it never happened. And they say on their leaflets that it doesn't cause brain damage. And then the other thing, that the other little law that really pisses me off is the 80% vaccine damage law. Bearing in mind, only one in four people who claim compensation in America compensated. It's like one in 200 in the UK. And they say if you're over 80% damaged, you can get compensation. If you're under 80%, you can't. So you, let's just say half of your child is completely paralyzed. They say, oh, sorry, you've got to be 80% paralyzed before you can you get any compensation. I mean, it's just, that is diabolical, isn't it, really? I mean, any psychopath.
So it's the same in the UK as it is here in the USA.
It's even worse. It's even worse. At least you get, I mean, they say vaccines are safe, don't they? But they've paid out $1.8 billion in America, you know, for these safe vaccines for brain damage and maiming children and death. And in England, I think it's like one in 200 get compensated. In Canada, compensation is pretty much non-existent until recently. And the third world, so you can go to a third world country and do what you want. I think they caused 50,000 cases of acute flaccid paralysis with a polio vaccine in India, which is what they call polio nowadays. They changed the name from polio to acute flaccid paralysis. They couldn't say they'd eliminated it because they called it polio, could they? And
right. They said they eliminated polio, and all they did was take all the polio cases and rename them acute flaccid paralysis. Clear as I can be for the listener.
Yeah, that's what they've done. And I mean, most polio now is caused by vaccine. Certainly in the West, all the polio is caused by the polio. They call it provocation polio. It's caused by the vaccines. In the third world, it's mostly vaccines, like that case in India, and probably a few pesticides, but they still lash pesticides out in India, don't they? But polio was, they brought in the polio vaccine to cover up DDT poisoning in the main. And the two guys in charge of the polio vaccine research was a guy called Cum, and he was a Rockefeller man who was charged with DDT in the field in Italy, I think. He was a DDT Rockefeller man, and this is the guy heading up the polio charity, which just gives you a bit of a clue. The other guy was Rivers, and he was a ex-rear admiral, no less, military man, and a Rockefeller man. So these two guys were covering up all of these Rockefeller DDT poisonings, like they have with BSE, you know, they blame the cows. It's actually Fosmet, the pesticides caused BSE, and they blamed it on a germ to this day. So same with polio, and then they called it, instead of calling it polio, they called it aseptic meningitis, didn't they, originally? But now they've got, I think it's about 30 different diseases you can call polio.
Concerned about the new meningitis vaccine. I know all of it's poison. I mean, from the aluminum to the MSG to the mercury to the formaldehyde. But they have just removed mercury and aluminum from the new meningitis vaccines and put in polysorbate 80, which is the sterilization agent, and the carcinogen, as well as, hold your breath, E. coli. E. coli is in two of the 2015 meningitis vaccines of the five. And that's mandated here in New York.
Well, any old poison, you know, you take one out, you put one in. I mean, they used to have mercury in teething things, didn't they? Was it called Pink's disease? So they whacked it into that to give to the children. Anywhere they can get mercury into kids, they'll do it. But also, what people don't realize is they're allowed to put trace levels. Trace equals 2,000 parts per billion. So below... They don't have to actually measure, so they can actually still put mercury in any product. They don't have to declare it if it's below trace levels. So they can get away with that. When you do independent testing of vaccines, you find these sort of things, and then you can find arsenic in vaccines. Arsenic. It's used in the manufacturing process. So anything, and then. There was meant to be SV40 in the polio vaccine, which is a cancer-causing vaccine, virus rather. But I'm not very taken with the whole viral theory. It's just they could kill these so-called viruses. I mean, meningitis C vaccine they brought out killed 11 children. I read in a media report 11, so that's probably 100 kids with thousands of reactions. And then any time you... vaccinated kids gets meningitis, they say, oh, well, it's not that strain, you know. So, but bearing meningitis is, they cause meningitis, you know, and then the viral fear racket, the only way they can keep the population frightened is the threat of war, terrorist incidents, which they all do, like 9/11. They did 9/11, it's the most obvious false flag in history of all time. And they also did the 7/7 bombing in London, killed four patsies. They got rather, one patsy missed his train there, which rather threw him out of it. But anyway, I mean, the only other way they main fear is the fear of infectious disease. Well, if you take smallpox, they could cure smallpox in the 17th century. Cinnamon was doing it. Had a 98% cure rate, so they wanted to get rid of him, so they challenged him to a duel. And obviously, didn't go for that one, but I mean they could cure it easily. It was actually less serious than measles. More people were dying of measles in 1900 than smallpox. It was feared more. And we all know how deadly measles is, don't we? Those of us who were born before the measles vaccine came out. If you read CBS News, they say, oh, well, deadly smallpox, it kills 30% and there is no cure. They don't want to cure diseases. They couldn't frighten you with diseases. They could cure it, wouldn't they, really? So they hype smallpox like they hype Spanish flu, which is purely a vaccine disease. They had about 15 vaccines they were giving soldiers. And it's like Dr. Duffy says, meningitis. The first thing I discovered in the military about meningitis is epidemics in clusters. And the only cluster was the new recruits, because they were always vaccinated. So then the new recruits came down with meningitis and nobody caught it. It's pretty non-infectious. And that's meningitis. And now they're trying to give you a vaccine to prevent a disease that's non-infectious. And it's caused by drugs and vaccines. And they could have cured easily, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And
well,
all the other...
What has made our educating people so difficult? You bring up war... and you bring up acts of terrorism, a bomb doesn't drop and you don't see blood everywhere. But the reality of it is that you're being poisoned. You can wrap your head around poison, can't you? And this is what John is pointing out very clearly. What they're calling a virus is really poison. What they're calling germs are poison. So
yeah.
If you are anti-vaccine, it means one thing and one thing alone. You are anti-poison.
Well, exactly. I mean, Jim West, virology can be destroyed. He said toxicology is avoided by the medical media like the plague. Without toxicology, the intellectual scientific intrigue of virology is a wasteland. Without toxicology, virology is a mere mind trap parasite. It's a mind virus, he said. Because... you know, they don't ever mention toxicology, but they actually admitted it once. There was a 19 58 or 9, there was a huge flu epidemic in London. Kids killed 1,500 people. And they admitted years later it was actually they bought some dodgy coal and it poisoned everyone. They all died of toxic coal poisoning. And that's all it is. I mean, you think of how much down in South Wales, near where I live, they've got a place where they burn pesticides. I took all my old farm chemicals down and they just burn it. And I met a guy, he couldn't go within 30, he was so sensitive, he couldn't go within 30 miles of this place. And so that, those fumes have been put out for 30 miles at least. And then that one of those swine flu outbreaks Jim West discovered is right next to a huge motorway intersection where it's been poisoned by car fumes. And the city, you've got masses of car fumes. And then in winter, they've got nutritional D, vitamin D deficiency. So the other thing they never mention is nutrition, do they? Even though you can cut measles death rates just with vitamin E in half. And they discovered that in the 1930s, so they wouldn't want a vitamin A, I think it is. There was a guy in 1932 called J.B. Ellison, and he discovered you could cut measles deaths in half, I think, if you used vitamin A and D. So it's not just vitamin C, it's all the other vitamins, and people are chronically vitamin C deficient because Owen Stone said we have a genetic defect in our liver where we can't make vitamin C, where like a goat can make 60 grams of vitamin C if he needs to. We can't make any, and it's the main nutrient for poisons. It's specific for poisons. So it's specific for poisons, kill viruses. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Pretty much the same thing. And so they've suppressed not just toxicology, virology, but nutritional science. I mean, they've kept the Journal of Nutritional Medicine or PubMed, so no doctor or anyone ever finds any articles on the main government database. So it's just poisonous and malnutrition, really. It's all about infection. And then they flood the country with junk food like sugar, which cuts your immunity by 50%. 15 minutes, I think, if you eat a bit of sugar. And these vaccine doctors promoting sugar, like Vincent Mott is a big sugar promoter. So they're not really interested. And then the other big medical doctor was pushing fluoride, isn't it? I mean, they actually green light fluoride, they green light aspartame, which is deadly. And all of these other food poisons and water poisons, you know, the medical industry gives a green light to, and bottle feeding. You know, it'd be hard to come out of hospital without, like, your kid clutching, you know, they give you milk powder, don't you, when you leave hospital, and they try to give your babies milk, but it's even been proved. I mean, bottle feeding kids is about the worst thing you can do after vaccines. And you never, if you don't vaccinate, don't bottle feed, you never have a SIDS death, because SIDS is all due to vaccines and bottle feeding, isn't it? So but people don't want to wake up because, you know, unless your kid gets run over by a vaccine, people don't generally wake up. It's only because I've just 30 years I've been interested in truth. It's just been one of those things I can't really avoid. So, but most people don't want to wake up to the truth because they don't want to. It's like waking up and finding out you're living in the middle of Franco, Spain, or, you know, Hitler time, or any of those fascist or totalitarian countries. You don't really want to wake up and find that out, do you? And that's a very, very vicious.
This is an issue of survival, and if you don't wake up, you will be permanently asleep. So right now, they are after the adults to force vaccinate them here in the United States. And they're trying to issue something called standing orders. And an executive order was just signed the other day. And everything's coming to a head. I have called for a national moratorium on vaccination now. I went to the Department of Health and Human Services to call for it. And I have to tell you, they literally were dumbstruck. But at the same token, isn't this what is required? I've been trying to ban them since 2009. The word moratorium means to stem. Okay, stop them. Stop them. That's fine, too. It's got to stop. The truth must be acknowledged. You can write to your legislators, and they'll give you the same tired lies. They're glaring lies. This is a century-old deceit.
Yeah, 200 years, isn't it?
Oh, two centuries.
In the 1800s it started, didn't it? 200 years now they've been poisoning the population with vaccines, and it's what I call a silent weapon. Very clever, diabolical, and when you go to the bottom of the rabbit hole, it's pretty scary, really, isn't it? Because why would people want to do that? I mean, I've got a page where I've listed at least 100 ways they're poisoning us, apart from chemtrails in the sky, the obvious one, and vaccines are just another one. So what is doing this? Who is doing it? Is a very question people don't really want to ask, do they?
May not live long enough to get up the courage to ask. You know, we go to City Hall monthly here in New York City. We take a stand to reject vaccine tyranny. That's what we're doing. We're rejecting vaccine tyranny once a month. Come join us on Veterans Day, 11/11 at 1 p.m. And as I say, I am trying to unite all of the different religious leaders to take a stand and save their flocks.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. I wish I was over there.
Well, you know, I have been known to do it all by myself. You know, the most people I've ever gathered together was 9 in a city of 8 million people. I have people other states, from Florida, from Louisiana, from New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. Why do I have to reach out to other states when we are dense, 8 million people? You know, and we have a vaccination rate in our schools of 99.2%, only 0.8% of our children have exemptions. So we don't have a future here. We literally are going to stop this, or there will be no future. And I think that the plan originally was to come for the adults first, but they found adults resisting. So they took